We're doing the book of Shmuel. We're up to what's called the third chapter. And if you recall, Avner, Ben-Ner, King Saul's cousin, had appointed King Saul's son, Ish-Boshes, 40 years old, a very pious Jew, as king over most of Israel. And now, there's an ongoing war between Avner and Avner being the chief general who had actually appointed Ish-Boshes. There's an ongoing war between him and Yoav, who is David's nephew. And Shaul, King Saul, had a concubine named Ritzpah Vataya. Hold on to that name we're going to encounter at the end of the book of Shmuel. Aya. And Avner is approached by Ish-Boshes the king, who asks him, why were you intimate with my father's concubine? Which is a clear indication that you consider yourself king. And Avner says, you dare accuse me of such a thing now, when you owe everything you have to me? And how dare you go by something you heard and accuse me? And now I'm giving King David the throne. And with that, Avner went on and sent letters throughout Israel and said, we all want David as king. All this time he's always led us to war. It's in our best interest to have David as king. And when he sends word to David and says, I want to bring the kingdom to your control, David told him one condition. Bring me back my wife, Shaul's daughter, Michal bat Shaul, who I am legally married to. And then David sends word to Ish-Boshet asking for his wife. And Ish-Boshet sends her back. All of this we learned last week. And then when Avner comes and makes the pact with David, Yoav is not present. Yoav has that enmity against Avner because Avner killed his brother Asael. Avner is sent to summon the Jewish people for an inauguration of David, finally accepting him as king. When Yoav comes back and hears that David made this pact with Avner, and then Yoav comes to him and says, what'd you do? Don't you know Avner was just here to figure out where you're camping and how you're camping and what your fortification is so that he can attack? And David doesn't bother answering him. Yoav leaves David. He sends word to Avner and summons him back. David is unaware. He sends word to Avner in David's name saying that David wants him to return. Avner returns to Hebron. Yoav brings him into court. And Yoav challenges him and says, why'd you kill my brother Asael? Avner says, your brother wanted to kill me. I had no choice. When a person is chasing someone to kill them, they're allowed to save their own lives by killing the person giving chase. That's what I was doing. Asael was chasing me to kill me, so I was allowed to kill him. Yoav said, well, you should have wounded him. You didn't have to kill him. He was chasing you. You're right. You were entitled to save yourself. You should have wounded him. Slice off a leg. What'd you kill him for? And Avner says, I couldn't aim as I was on the run. To which Yoav answers, you were able to aim that you hit him in the fifth rib and with one knock you killed him. And you couldn't aim to maim him? That doesn't hold water. And the court sides with Yoav. So Yoav and the court rule that Avner deserves the death penalty. Now, why did Avner deserve the death penalty? So the Navi is written in code. The Navi says that Avner was summoned. It says he was summoned from Bo Hasira, the pit of the thorn bush. What's that? So our sages say that's an allusion to why Avner deserved to be killed in heaven. Why in heaven did they agree that Avner deserved to be killed? Because when David was trying to make peace with King Saul, so you'll recall the first time David sliced off a corner of King Saul's garment and said to King Saul, you see, I could have killed you when you were in that cave. And here I have the corner of your coat. So then Avner came to him and said, don't buy into it. Your coat must have been torn on a thorn bush. And David found the corner. Now he's saying, I could have killed you. So that's the thorn bush. What's the pit? The next time David came, he says, Avner, what's your answer now? Look, I have the king's flask of water. How come I have his flask of water that was right next to his head when he went to sleep? So then Avner, when they left, Avner said, must be some one of the lads forgot your flask in some pit when they went to fetch water. And David found it. And again, he wants to say, I could have killed you. We would have killed him if he would have come close. No way he could have killed you. So that was held against Avner. Because in truth, David could have killed Shaul twice. And Avner was the one who kept instigating the fight between Shaul and David. And that's why in heaven, Avner is going to be deserving of dying a violent death. So Yoav says to Avner, tell me, if a woman has no hands, how does she do chalitza? We have a rule in the Torah. If a man dies without children, so then his wife can either marry her brother-in-law, or else she can remove his shoe, spit, and say, he doesn't want to build his brother's family, and then he's free to marry someone else, she's free to marry someone else. So if she has no hands, how does she remove the shoe? Now, the shoe is really an intricate sandal. Till today, the courts have such a sandal, because it happens that a couple doesn't merit to have children. Sometimes, God forbid, there's an accident. A man can die in the army. Things can happen. A person can die without children. Now, his wife, the widow, she can either marry her brother-in-law or do chalitza. Today, we rule that a woman should do chalitza. That's our custom for over a millennium. That a woman does chalitza, we don't do yibam. So, we have in the courts a sandal, like the days of the Bible. And the sandal is made of leather, and it wraps around the foot. One day maybe we should take a trip to court and see many things. One of the things we should see is this sandal, the sandal of chalitza. So it's not so simple to take off such a sandal without hands. So Avner, Yoav asks Avner, tell me, how do you do chalitza if a woman has no hands? So Avner says, with her mouth. So Yoav says, can you show me? I don't understand. If you have no hands, how could you do it with your mouth? So Avner bends over with his mouth to show him, and with that, Yoav kills him. Yoav kills Avner. He's playing a trick on him. What?
I can't believe you're talking for that. I'm going to argue that. I have a question. It's not like he agreed with that, like, you know, show him. He realized he was being humiliated somehow. He knew that something bad was about to happen. It had to be like a dramatic moment of some kind like this. I mean, I just don't see. So they're like, yeah, I'll remove your shoe with my mouth. That makes no sense that he would agree to that.
I can tell you that when I merited to learn by Big Talmidei Chachamim, they did things hands-on. I remember when we learned the Mishnah in Tractate Para that discusses if you have a flask of water and a cat drank from the water, do we say that water was disqualified for the Para Aduma, for the red heifer waters? So it brings an opinion there that we disqualified because that water is tainted because a cat will very often lick its whiskers. So when a cat drinks from the water, some of its own saliva comes off its whiskers into the water. So that water is not pure water. It has to be pure stream water. So I still remember, as we were reading that Mishnah, Rabbi Feinstein does this. And he goes, you guys know how cats do this. And he licks his mustache with his tongue. Like as he's teaching the Mishnah. Because it was so obvious to him that anything he can articulate as he's teaching, he does. Even though we'd all understand how a cat licks its whiskers. But that's part of teaching. Whatever you can show, you do.
An arrogant character, or you think this is below him to remove a guy's shoe using his mouth?
No. I'm saying the teachers of Israel, would traditionally show whatever they could. And that's the best way to educate, if you show everything hands-on, whatever you could. Yes?
This might be a little bit off-topic, but there was news I read about a red heifer that they found in America.
Mm-hmm. You were right with the first point. back to our thing, but Thursday night we could talk about it. Yoav kills Avner the same way that Avner killed Asael. He hits him in the fifth rib and kills Avner. And when David hears this, he says, I'm clean of that. I didn't do it. My kingdom didn't do it. I didn't have him do it. All of the blood of Avner should fall on Yoav's head. And Yoav should be cursed that in his family he should have a zav. You guys know what a zav is? A man that has a flow. It's similar to what we call gonorrhea today. There's a flow that keeps coming out of him. Mitzora, with the white blemishes. Machzik bepelech, one who can't support himself with his own feet. Nofel bacherev, people who die a violent death. Vachasal lachem, and people who are impoverished to the point where they have no bread. So this curse that David places on Yoav will come back like a boomerang. Because at the end of Yoav's days, David's son, Shlomo, will want to execute Yoav. And at that point, Yoav will say, I'm only willing to be executed if you take back all your father's curses on your head off of mine. And Shlomo agrees. And our sages point out how all five curses came true in the descendants of Shlomo. So David tells everyone, including Yoav, tear your clothing. We're going to mourn this man. We're going to eulogize Avner. Imagine this, the murderer. Well, the guy who killed him, I can't say murderer about Yoav, but he tears his clothing and everyone's mourning, and David makes a eulogy and they lead the burial procession out and they bury Avner in Hebron. Now, Avner was from the tribe of Benjamin, and David weeps over him and he gives a eulogy over him. He says, how could it be that Avner died like a man of ill repute? His hands weren't tied. How could he die like this, such a warrior? And he arouses everyone to weep. And then they offer David bread. And David says, I'm not eating today. David wants the nation to recognize that he didn't have a hand in this. Now, what Yoav really did here was prolong a civil war. The war was about to end. Avner was going to lead everyone under David. And because of his personal issue with Avner, Yoav actually causes the war to continue. It's not clear what's going to happen now, because Avner's dead, so Ishbosheth lost his general, but Avner was also the key catalyst in unifying the people behind David. David tells his servants, I want you to know, a great leader of Israel died today, but I'm still fresh. My nephews, the sons of my sister Tzuya, are tougher than me. I can't take them on. Even though they're wrong, but I can't start up with them. When Ishbosheth hears that his general Avner died, he loses all strength. He doesn't know what to do now. The rest of Israel is also stuck. Because if Avner was killed, they all have to worry, what's David going to do to them? It's true, David says, I'm absolved. I have no responsibility for this. But any Jew who was considering joining forces with David had to wonder what would happen to them after Avner was murdered. So, Ishbosheth has two relatives, two brothers, Baana and Rechav. And they come to visit Ishbosheth. Ishbosheth is resting in the middle of the day. And they come in as though they were coming to purchase wheat. And he's lying in his room, and the two of them sneak into his room, and this is where we'll pick up Ezrat Hashem next week.